allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind in an awareness of God's love.
Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers? Know that you are blessed. I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
Hello, my dear, dear sinners. Welcome to Choose Your Own Religion. Each week, we have a guest to make up their own religion of their very own. We custom make it based on what they like. Sometimes they just pick whatever religion they like already. We don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. It's fine. This week, I'm really excited to have Talia Bernstein on. The reason I'm kind of whispering is I'm recording to you live from my parents' house on the day that we posthumously decided was the birthday of the most famous Jew of all time. And this week, we have Talia Bernstein, who is herself Jewish. In fact, the podcast she runs, What the Fuck Do I Do With My Jewish Hair? It's a great podcast. You should listen to it whether you have Jewish hair or not, or whether you know exactly what you want to do with it. It's a great show. This is a weird week at my parents' house. I'm not going to unpack everything that happened this week. It was a bit intense. I was a naughty little boy. I was not great this week. Something I've been thinking about is, it's been several years since I've taken any kind of hallucinogenic drug, but being around my parents is the closest I'll get to that experience, because it's like when I've taken mushrooms, right, it has taken me right to the center of myself, to all my insecurities, to all the bare face of my soul and my psychology and all the inner workings that I do and don't like. That's what it's like being around my parents, and I love them. They love the shit out of me. They love me way more than I feel like I deserve based on the little asshole I've been to them over the years. Not all the time, but sometimes. And that's what it was this week. And it's whenever I visit home, sometimes it's like the same ends of a magnetic pole just coming together, and there's some kind of resistance that's built up, and I'm noticing it as it's happening, and I don't like it, but it's there, and I don't know. I see all these things bubble up in myself that I don't like. And what's interesting is that other people see those things as positive traits in them, so maybe you guys see those things as positive traits in me. I don't know. Anyway, I've got a lot to unpack from this past week. It's a mindfuck seeing your dad preach, especially on Christmas Eve. It's a mindfuck. There's other things that are mindfuck too, but sometimes it takes a while to digest these things properly, and that's what I'm going to do. But for now, I really hope you guys love this episode. I think you will. Talia, again, one of my greatest friends of 2015, somebody I've loved. Her podcast is super funny. And hope you guys had a great holiday week or whatever you celebrated, or if you didn't celebrate anything, I hope that was great too. And remember, as we say every week on Choose Your Own Religion, Ja Rule.
Appreciate it.
Sure. It's so funny to me.
No,
sorry
I
about
can't.
The there's like a little slight stutter at the beginning. I'm like, oh god, I felt she's gonna be if like was... fucking Joe. I asked a really vulnerable question. you wanted to know more about the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know everything about it.
So the premise or the name of it again is Choose Your Own Religion.
Love it.
So the idea is that by the end of this episode, so like we'll start first segment or whatever, we'll just talk about like your background.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can make up a religion at the end of it together.
Oh, cool.
I have like structure to it if we need it. We may not need it. Or we can talk about, like, why, I don't know, like, I don't know how into, you, like, Judaism you are or whatever. If you just want to, like, no, I fucking like Judaism.
I'm good. I'm
going to stick
at.
With it. Then
totally.
That's cool, too.
Cool.
But with your podcast, I listened to the first episode.
Yeah?
Loved it. Super great.
Means the world to me.
I only through the first episode did I even realize that Jewish hair was, like, even that significantly different.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't really realize it was different until I was in Birthright, or in Israel on Birthright with a bunch of other Jews. And we were in these really kind of religious areas and very, very, like, emotional places.
Like the wall.
Yeah, totally. And then all of a sudden we were like, wait. Like, someone would be talking about how they can handle their frizzy hair. And I was like, wait, hold on. What do you do? And then, like, someone else came over and we're like, wait, hold on, what? And so everyone, like, we're supposed to...
Like, in this, like, very touching moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're like, hold on. There's something way more important going on here. We're figuring out what the hell to do.
That's crazy. So, yeah. Wait, how many people were on that trip?
40.
40?
Yeah.
So it's like a big, it's like a tour buses style, like a group of you, like at a time, or?
Yeah, it's a trip for 10 days, and it's 40-ish people, and midway through the trip, 3 Israelis join us.
Oh.
So it's, like, immersive for them.
Yeah.
Like, a really immersive for them. It might have even been 6 Israelis, I don't remember.
Huh.
But it was, you know, for sure...
It's like everybody your age, kind
of. Exactly. Yeah. They're, most of them were, like, soldiers or had just finished the army, so they're in the, like, 22, 23 area.
Uh-huh.
Others were much older. Some were, like, 26 or whatever. But our group was 22 to 26, so it was just within that range.
Cool. And so I've always wondered, like, so you, like, with the Birthright trip, so it's just any Jew, right? Is it an American Jews only or any global...
I've heard that they do Birthright trips in other countries, too.
But there's, like, one specific organization that you just, like, email, you, like, apply for or whatever, or...
Yeah, and it's basically just proving that you're a Jew. Which is crazy, because it's, you know, what does it mean to be Jewish? Like, what... If I converted and I meant it... On my own,
right?
Am I still eligible? I really don't know.
Right, versus, you know, converting just to get the trip.
Right, which, like,
apparently,
sure.
I guess some people do that. Yeah, if you can.
No, I've never heard of anybody doing that, but, like, because, let's say, 22 to 26, let's say you get married young and you convert to Judaism. I think you're still eligible. I really, you know what? I have no idea. I would assume that you are.
Yeah.
I had a friend go on Birthright who I don't even think considers herself Jewish.
Huh. And, so, like, and it's mostly about, like, getting you guys to, for a feel of what Israel currently is, or is it a lot of religious, like, type site visits?
I think without even meaning to, if you take a trip to Israel, it will be a religious experience. Kind of like, I would assume Christianity would be going to, like, the Vatican, or Catholicism in the Vatican City? Christianity?
Yeah, Catholicism specifically would be Vatican.
Vatican City. Yeah, like that kind of feeling of just...
I mean, yeah, for most Christians, Jerusalem is. Yeah. That still is the...
No, totally. It's like the hot spot. So yeah. It's kind of like, no matter what religion you are, going to Israel will be a religious trip. Just because, for the mere fact that you are... looking at things that you studied back in the day, little things, you know, Jesus walking on water, something I never studied, but yeah. I assume other people did,
yeah.
That where he walked on water is in Israel, is in Israel, air quotes, you know, so that was just kind of crazy to me. And seeing people who are so devout experience Israel was really cool to me. But this trip, this specific trip, was very outdoorsy.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it was just kind of hiking, you know, Masada, which was something we learned in Hebrew school. And then hiking Masada was really
cool. What's Masada?
Masada is, it's like a mountain where, I'm going to get this so wrong and it's so embarrassing, but basically... it's Mount Masada, right? And the only way to go up is like this huge snake path that leads up to where this, I want to use the word like settlement, but I don't think it was. And it, a lot of contentious, like wars went on there, and what was so significant is the height of it. So people would literally, like, A, getting up was really hard, but then being thrown off was something else too.
Gotcha.
There is so much more to that story that, like, I usually, like, I've definitely known in my past,
right,
but cannot fathom it. Like, can't conjure it up right now, and I apologize.
Oh, no, no, me too. I mean, anybody who has listened to any of these episodes should be fact-checking most of the things I say.
I'd be surprised, like, Mount Masada could, like, not even be the right pronunciation, and I'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Masada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kidding, I know it's real.
That's so interesting. So, like, did you, with your group that was, so you have 40 people, they're all, you have to be 22 to 26?
22 to 26, yeah.
Okay, so it's all a bunch of young people.
Yeah.
Are you guys, like, partying at all, or is it, like, is that so not about that? Like, is that kind of frowned upon?
No, it's not frowned upon at all. It's more kind of, if you're into it, do it. But for me, it was, I will never, if I know I have something early the next morning, especially something physical, I can't drink the night before, or I will get really, really ill and not perform and, like, do whatever. Bless the people on my trip who were able to, like, party so hard the night before
and then rally
and, like, lead the pack in hiking the next day. It was crazy, but I had a harder time doing that.
Yeah.
So I didn't. That wasn't my experience on it, but that being said, there were a few nights dedicated to going out, but not a ton. I'm telling you, the trip I did was so hiking heavy, I think I signed up for Israel by foot by mistake. That's what it felt like.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was, like, if there was this dynamic going on too with your group, because when I worked at a Christian summer camp for a couple, well, conference center / summer camp.
Amazing.
For two summers. And we had about 150 on staff, and, like, half of it, or maybe, I don't know, I'm going to get the numbers wrong a little bit. Let's say a third were, like, really into partying.
Okay.
A middle third were kind of, like, could go either way given a night.
This is the staff?
Yeah, of the staff. And then, but then there was another third who was, like, pretty religious, pretty, like, anti, like, wanting to even get into all that. Was there, like, a super religious contingent on your trip, too?
Not really.
Not really?
I find that the amount of people, I'm friends with a lot of Jews just by virtue of growing up Jewish, being around so many, I all my activities took place at the Jewish Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
That was just kind of the involvement of, like, a lot of different parts of my life. And of those Jews, a small fraction of them are really, really religious.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a minute kind of fraction.
Like 2%.
Yeah, if that. I mean, I know it's important to people, but I don't know if you could even describe, like, Judaism's important to me. I don't think you could describe me as super religious, because the parts of Judaism that are important to me aren't necessarily the religious part of it. It's more so the cultural part of it, which I don't even know if you can say, honestly. Is that like saying you're socially liberal but, like, fiscally Republican? Like, are you even allowed to say that? So
yeah.
I don't know, but that being said, I think that number roundup was very similar to my birthright trip. 2%, if that.
Yeah. So, like, there's one guy.
Yeah, there's just one guy.
With his arms crossed, just like, I don't know, guys.
Right, doing, like, to fill in. And you know what? The Israelis, even the Israelis, I'd say maybe two of them were really, really religious.
Mm-hmm.
And one person on our trip was pretty religious. Maybe more. I don't really know.
Gotcha.
Barely remember their names.
Are you still in touch with any of these people? Or?
Some of them, totally. Like, just like anything. It's so funny. I studied abroad, and I loved it. I studied abroad in Denmark, and I really loved it. And I made so many friends there. And at the end of it, I was like, oh my God, we're going to keep in touch.
We're never going to stop talking.
We're never going to stop talking. It's going to be like, you visit me, I visit you. Like, we'll just, like, create this thing. And we just, because of life, we didn't at all. So when I went to Birthright, I was like, whatever, I'm not here to make friends. and then by the end of it, I had a lot of really cool, cool people in my life.
Yeah.
But it's just hard. I think staying in touch with anybody is hard. And you try and devote that energy of staying in touch to the people you've known for a really long time.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, some people have fallen by the wayside. But I will say that sometimes we'll run into each other, like, however that happens. And it's really, really
nice.
It's
amazing, yeah.
Yeah, because it was a really good group of people. who care about outdoors things. So yeah. You have non-superficial people, a pool of non-superficial people already, you know?
Totally.
So it was kind of nice.
I had the same thing with my study abroad group in Turkey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were super tight. Still Facebook friends with most of them, but yeah, that's all you really see them is on Facebook.
Right.
There's like a summer where we got back to school, or like the following semester when we got back, we would hang out every now and then and get a dinner together, and that was cool. But yeah, it's life takes you apart. And I guess we can only spend the energy on the people that like we either have known forever or the people who are in our immediate environment.
Right. Exactly. Right. It is one or the other. And the ones who I have been in touch with are, like, someone was just on my hair podcast who was from Birthright.
Oh, cool.
Really luckily. And I have someone else coming into town and they're from Birthright and they'll be on it. Like,
awesome.
So it's, like, fun. It's great, but it's...
And you've got, like, this perfectly, what do you call it? Like, this per...
Like, like the line into it.
Yeah, because you met them talking about Jewish hair.
Exactly.
Boom.
Exactly. Wait, you studied abroad in Turkey?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so we got the kind of a Muslim immersion.
Is that... Deal. Were you a religion major?
Yeah, religious studies major. And
it's
this
all
was,
making sense.
Yeah, so that program, it was like half of it was studying, like, specifically Turkish, like, politics and Turkish history, and then the other half was studying Sufism, which is, like... They're, for lack of a better term, they're like the hippie Muslims. Like they're like,
oh, cool.
They're mystical. So like they're not as literalist in terms of stuff. They are really into like, because the whole, you know, like a whirling dervish. Do you know what those are?
I've heard.
They're like people who dance, who like spin themselves in circles
yes.
for long, long, long periods of time so that they can lose themselves.
I feel like I've seen them at festivals.
Probably, yeah. And so, but the idea is like you lose yourself as and like become one. You encounter the divine through doing that, like lose yourself to the spirit, to God, whatever.
Yeah.
So we studied some of that, but yeah, it was a great trip. And you're totally right too. With like, I loved the people on there because they were all other religious studies majors. And,
yeah.
And like people who are at least on that same wavelength with you is just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning about other religions is so cool. I bet that was a really cool major. And I think people who have an interest in that just kind of, from a non-judgmental point of view of just like, I'm truly just intrigued as to what people, how people are living their life
yeah.
to best suit whatever it is they want. That's,
yeah.
I think that's a really cool thing.
I think a lot of us were similar in that we grew up Christian, but then like accidentally sort of found ourselves in the program
mm-hmm.
and then found ourselves like keep like, it like our first class maybe just like really struck a nerve and be like, oh, I gotta find out more, like I gotta dive deeper.
Yeah.
And for me, I guess that's always kept, those types of questions have always been kept like persistent.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that a, that's, I probably would never, like the idea of me even doing this podcast is really born of the same, like, it's just an annoying, like, nagging feeling in me.
Right. Like, you're like, man. Can't shake it.
Yeah.
Well, you also were born into a really religious household.
Yeah.
Your dad was a preacher.
Right.
Was your mom involved with?
Yep. Super religious. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've even joked that she was more religious than my dad. Like, it seems like she was, like, more, like, I don't know. They were both pretty religious. It's hard mm-hmm. to admit. Probably shouldn't try to rank one or the other.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous zone.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
But yeah. I was thinking of like, because I studied some Judaism in college, and like we would do like Seder meal. How do you feel about Christians doing like Seder meals like once a year? Because like that was something we did, like be like, oh, this is what
Jesus did,
or like this is kind of what Jesus did. This is like, yeah, what Jesus would have done on Passover,
Last Supper,
right? The Last Supper. But it was part of that, like we went through a whole whole thing. Is that like does that like make you mad? Like, oh, you fucking posers.
No, nothing really makes me mad. I think extremists make me mad.
Sure,
but like
yeah.
if people are, I think if people are, it, definitely there's a level of crazy in any religion.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That is always just like, okay, that's like a bit much.
Yeah,
But as long as people are doing it in a safe kind of understanding way, I'm not totally offended by it. To be honest, I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of Christians partaking in the Last Supper, aka Passover Seder.
Yeah.
I love Passover. To me, that's the dream come true.
Yeah.
I mean, when you do it, are you, what, so, okay, I love Passover. I think it's a really wonderful holiday because I think it's a really Jewish holiday in that I like Judaism because I think it takes a lot of the lessons, so to speak, I'm using air quotes again, are take a beat, think about what's going on in your life right now and how far we've come as a people, and understand that not everybody has made progress the way that maybe we have. So make sure to speak up for those people. And that's how I interpret it. That could be completely wrong. Passover specifically, that's how I interpret it, of we were once enslaved, we're not anymore, we're eating freely, like, look at us now, enjoying all this food.
But remember where we came from.
But remember where we came from and understand that everyone around us, even today, is facing struggles of their own, and be sure to be kind of empathetic more so of those people. It's like, you know, privilege and just being able to contribute.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my takeaway from Passover, and that's what I love. That's what I love kind of sharing on Passover. So my very roundabout question for you is, so in the Christian version of Passover, are you guys talking about that, or are you kind of trying to live as Jesus did or whatever?
I remember it wasn't really about living as Jesus did. It was like, I remember having some kind of, somebody had like a pamphlet, like somebody had like the whole program out, like, oh, this is where
the Haggadah, like the actual,
not the actual one. Oh. I'm talking like somebody printed out the instructions from some website of like,
oh, totally. Of that's like, a this Haggadah. Is what you, okay. Totally. Okay,
sure.
There are like ranges of it.
Okay. Yeah. This is a definitely a printout. Just regular 8x5.
Oh, totally. In mine, I do. I specifically look for child's Haggadahs and I like pass those out.
Can you clarify more what a Haggadah is?
Yeah. It's just, it's basically like, I look at it as, like a syllabus of the night. So it's like, this is what we're doing now. We're eating the bitter herb and this is why we're doing it. And like, remember this story from the fucking bitter herb. and then you like kind of go from there. And then the next one is like, here's the dipping of the finger in the wine. This is why we do that. Okay. So whatever that word is.
I remember all those. I remember the bitter herbs. I remember the finger in the wine. There was a layman or a more, it was a simple version of a Haggadah. And I know we had a seat for Elijah. Left that one open.
Love him.
Gotta do that.
What a great job that guy has.
Always has a seat.
Always has a seat. Always has a glass of wine.
Like, Elijah's never showing up being like, hey, excuse me.
Right.
He's like, know where I'm sitting. But I think, I guess looking back on it now, it almost, maybe that's what I'm worried about, was that it feels like condescending, like, oh, we're going to do like a cute little Jewish thing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that like maybe there's like a tinge of that. But while you're in it.
Using like voices that you thought Jews would use, because then I could get that.
On this night of night.
Yeah.
That's my horrible Jewish accent. Yeah, I gotta think more about like getting a good Jewish accent.
Get a good Jew. There's nothing better than a Jewish accent in your back pocket.
It's true, especially in this town.
Yeah.
You never know.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. There was like a, there was a remembering, the idea of using it to remember, you know, the previous suffering of previous generations.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is like, I mean, I joke about now maybe the touch of condescension, but I think at the while you're in it at the time, it didn't feel that way. It felt like, oh, like, these are our Jewish, like, friend, like, we used to be, like, the origin story of Christianity comes from Jewish roots. Like,
right.
And then we split off at some point.
At some point, something went weird.
Yeah. Well, we were like, this Jesus guy.
Yeah, he's a big deal, right?
He's and then a you just huge
kinda
went, deal.
You kind of just kept going in that direction.
And you guys were like, well, he's fine. He's good.
Yeah, we're like, guys, no one's coming back. No, but Jesus, come on.
Yeah. And then the Muslims were like, yeah. Jesus is great, and then Muhammad is great too.
Right.
And you guys were kind of like, well, that's just completely
we're like, that's
out of my
another,
own.
That's another branch.
Yet another branch.
Yeah, we're going to stay over here. We're good.
Yeah. But I don't know.
What that reminds me of, the only other time I've been asked by a non-Jew if I was offended by something, I mean, maybe not the only other time, but something that I'm reminded of is when a girl on my study abroad trip asked, she was referring to the Torah as the Old Testament, and she asked me if that was offensive. And I was like, yeah, kind of, but also, do you mean it? What is your approach into it? Like, should I be offended? Because I'll be offended. Sure, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, it is like, we are just saying like, oh, that's cute that you have your little Torah, but it's the old stuff. You know, we've evolved.
We got new shit going on. Yeah. Right.
One thing, I don't know how much, so when you're growing up in... You call it a Jewish Community Center?
Yeah, JCC.
So you're going, are you going like weekly and like studying the Torah?
Oh
like,
my God, no.
No?
JCC is what I would equate the YMCA to.
Okay,
I would equate it to the YMCA in that it's not, there aren't any significant...
like religious events?
Religiously affiliated things going on there, but it's kind of a place... in the community where you can go and, like, work out and play tennis.
Gotcha.
I knew a ton of Jews in my town who I'm from Miami. It's not a town. in my, like, hood that would actually go to the YMCA because it was closer rather than JCC, which my family was up in arms about.
But you didn't really go to, I guess, synagogue as much then, or?
Yeah, totally. Okay. JCC was more so just, it was after school care, it was sports, like, that's where I started actually playing baseball, and then, you know, tennis and homeworks. It was literally, my parents couldn't pick me up after school,
right?
So I would go here.
Yeah, we have Christian versions of that.
Yeah, too. Totally, yeah. Where it's just like, yeah, my parents are working.
fun hangout here. Spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all it was. And I did belong to a temple, a very small Reconstructionist temple in Miami.
Wait, what does Reconstructionist mean?
It's basically the best way I can put it for you is via imagery. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to Shabbat?
Like a service?
A service.
No.
Okay, so it's Friday night. They take like a few hours, but it is a pretty... It's a weekly thing.
Yeah.
I could use any analogy really, but at most temples it's maybe like a 2-hour service, really solemn, kind of taking in the week, saying your prayers, doing your thing. We had bongos at mine, and it was like a solid hour. And
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know, like at most bat mitzvahs, even the women have to cover their heads, like when they're on the bima where the Torah is.
Mm-hmm.
At mine. And they were 3 hours long. They were so, so, so long. Ours was in and out, no headdress. I remember, like, I took my heels off in the middle of mine. I was barefoot through half of my bat mitzvah. So, just, like, the more, like, relaxed version of Judaism.
That sounds awesome. I feel obligated as, like, I'm a part of this project, this podcast, to, like, I want to go to one.
You should.
Like, it sounds... cool. Like,
yeah.
It's really solemn, right? Even with bongos, or is it how solemn? Is it like being solemn followed by bongos being, or is it just like more like open, like... I guess there's probably a blend, right?
Yeah, it's a blend. And it's funny because my family did Shabbat in a totally different way, where we were so busy during the week. We all had shit going on. And on Friday nights, we started to do Shabbat more, which was like a 10-minute like candle lighting ceremony, where we would go around and just say what we enjoyed in our week and what we were. Cool. It was like Thanksgiving.
Like a gratitude.
Yeah, we were like, what are you thankful for?
Yeah.
I just went to my boss's house last night and we did Shabbat at her house. It's always like fun to see how families do Shabbat. They did something really similarly where they went around and did Rose and Thorn. So like Rose of the Week and Thorn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of just like a reflective, very family oriented.
Yeah, something about that just warmed my heart so much.
Oh
right
my
now.
God, I'll do Shabbat with you every
Friday.
That
sounds amazing. Yeah.
It's my favorite. I love Shabbat. There is certain parts of Judaism that I really, really like, and it's not the religious aspect, it's just the what it forces you to do, like the, you know,
like this, I guess us Anglicanized version is the Sabbath. We just say Sabbath. You know, but it's the same thing, like,
right?
So for me, okay, what do you know a lot of the rules of Shabbat, because on Saturdays, right? So the idea is that it starts at Friday night.
It starts Friday night. Everything kind of shuts down.
Yeah.
And you, as a very Orthodox Jew, don't work,
yeah,
is what they say. So that working is actually working, but working is also turning on a light or pushing a button to make it whatever. So you'll see it in a lot of very Orthodox buildings,
mm-hmm,
or buildings where there are a lot of Jews, like my grandparents' Jewish nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
There's one elevator on Shabbat that is like the Shabbat elevator that will stop on every floor.
Wow.
Because you can't physically push a button.
That is awesome.
Yeah. It's supposed to, I kind of understand it. It's supposed to really just, I think it's your most relaxed self and your,
yeah,
most kind of, I don't even know. My interpretation is not focused on anything else other than like your relationship with God, mm-hmm, and probably your relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a step further. And the way to do that is to totally free yourself of doing absolutely anything. So you only focus on these things.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Also, I do think it's hilarious, like the programming around like the idea
totally,
to not do any work.
Yeah. Yes, totally. I also think it's hilarious if someone were to walk into a kosher elevator and be like, what the fuck? I don't get it. Nobody's like, you think there's a ghost in there.
You're right. That's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been, I guess earlier this year, I've gotten away from it for sure. Just I'm fascinated with the idea that, like, we as humans need rest, you know? And,
mm-hmm,
it's like the concept of Shabbat, I guess, presumably comes from, like, God or just whether maybe, like, if some people have, like, this view of like, religion and, like, the rules that people came up with for religion, like, as things that people designed because they figured out they were healthy for humans, like kosher laws being like, well, it was probably healthy to not eat like crawfish or whatever, or to not eat pigs or whatever.
Right.
Like it was just for everybody's own good back then, when, mm-hmm, like meat was so unsanitary that you didn't eat certain things.
Right.
And so even that, thinking about it even in that way, and like not taking out the holiness aspect of it per se, sort of interested me, like the idea, like, no, you should take a day a week to not, you know, pursue your little selfish, like, entertainment career or whatever, you,
yeah,
know? Or just not to, yeah, just slow down, appreciate what you have, appreciate,
yeah,
this life for a day.
Yeah.
You know?
There is something really nice in slowing down. It's like taking a moment where you...
To pause.
And it's just really just like a pregnant pause in your day.
Yeah.
And there's something that... And I think what happens to me during Shabbat is realizing how infrequent those are and how they should be more frequent. Like, you should have moments to yourself throughout the week that, like,
yeah,
feel as good as that moment on Shabbat does.
But, like, man, have you ever done that in the middle of a week? Like, I feel like an insane person. Like, there was one time before an improv practice where somebody, like, canceled on me. I don't know. There was a scheduling mishap. So I had this hour and a half free that, like, I couldn't schedule anything. And usually I'd try to cram in some reading there, or, like, do something. And I'm,
uh-huh,
like, but I was, like, near this park. I'm like, I'm just going to, like, walk around and hang out in this park. I'm not even going to, like, listen to music. I'm just going to, like, really. And I felt like a lunatic being out there. Like, everybody else is, like, actually doing something. But I'll tell you, there was something really, like, cool and, like, I don't know, transformative about it internally. And, like,
yeah,
I just felt so refreshed afterwards.
Yeah, that's great.
But then, like, I haven't done it since.
Oh my god.
You know?
You should carve out in your choose your own religion, you should have like a pause moment where you have to.
I should. But there's such a that ambition, right? That we is,
yeah,
not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing to want to accomplish more, to want to, like, do more.
Right, right,
to be a productive member of society. But you got to curb it sometimes.
You do. You have to meet in the middle somewhere. I almost feel like the same feeling I get when I sit down for a meal, like, a prepared meal, like a dinner party, but with only a few friends where no one's looking at their phone and they're just kind of talking about the week and talking,
yeah,
about things. I find that to be of the similar feeling of just kind of like, this is not advancing me in any way, shape,
yeah,
or form other than like my
soul.
My soul. Yeah. Just being able to talk to people just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
You know? Not work-oriented, not anything, just chatting.
And it's, yeah. I think, I feel like people, maybe this is the part of me that's like, that just fantasizes about being back home.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like people who are not in LA or New York or like these high, like, these high ambition cities, maybe that happens more often. Where people are like, of course we enjoy family and friends. Why, like, why wouldn't you do that more often?
Right, right. Totally. I didn't even think about that. I've only lived in big cities ever, so I don't even really know what that
Well, you had like. Your little Miami town.
My little tiny small Miami town.
Yeah.
It's this little place in Florida. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But yeah, totally. I guess that's so right.
Yeah.
I think the takeaway is just, like, make more time for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Shabbat. It really makes you do it. It's so nice.
Yeah, so, like, do you try to do that to some degree on Saturdays, or?
It's mostly Friday nights that were the Shabbat in my household. I've wanted to, but I really, it's hard to just be, like, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard to,
yeah.
It's hard to plan anything that's a staple in your routine,
mm-hmm.
that involves other people. But what I loved specifically about Shabbat in my home was that you got to hear people be thankful, which is such a weird thing, but you got to hear people kind of be a little bit vulnerable with their emotions and say, this was a nice thing for me that happened in the week, and here's why, and here's how it made me feel. And there's something so special, A, partaking in that, and then B, witnessing that.
Yeah.
And so for me, my ultimate Shabbat would be a dinner with, you know, a friend, multiple friends, where we do that, where we have that moment of just like, tell me what made you feel good, because that's also going to make me feel good, you
yeah.
know? So I haven't really done it. Yesterday, again, at my boss's was really like a cute, I mean, she has three children and I'm not, I don't like love children. I'm kidding. They're amazing. but that was the first time I had done Shabbat in so long. Which yeah. is crazy. And, like, Passover is the same thing. Passover is once a year.
Right.
And I host that at my house, and it is my favorite thing in the whole wide world. But it makes you do that, where you go around and you're like, this is what's going on in my life, and here's why I'm so moved by it.
Yeah.
And there's something so lovely about that.
Yeah, I guess maybe, I don't know if this continues, because now I wonder if it's just me getting older, loving mm-hmm. stuff like that more. Because I think for me, maybe part of, like, because we had similar things, I guess, with, like, Christianity or whatever. Like, we had certain, like, weekly ritual
yeah,
type
yeah.
things like that. But then maybe it's almost like the weekly aspect of it made you lose the appreciation for it. But then now, I don't know, I'm getting to a point where I do like ritual. Like, I do like shit I can, like, count on and
yeah.
depend on.
Yeah, know? And I think that, totally, and I think that there's something that doesn't happen in our day-to-day. Like, maybe if you're in a relationship and you go home and you and your partner have that convo, that's, like, really sweet. But I don't think in our lives, there's a set plan to get around and, like, chat about things that mean stuff to you. That's
yeah.
so... That's so abnormal. So when you get a taste of it, it's so lovely. And you're like, yeah, you do have feelings. And
yeah.
this made you feel warm and bubbly. And I love that. I think it's so sweet to hear someone who's like had a good day because, you know, something happened to them that
yeah.
was so minute. And you're like, oh my God. I love that. And that's also kind of improv is like that too, with the stretch and share, where you share something about your day, and it could be something as stupid as I drank a cup of coffee and I left it in my cup holder and then I drank it 3 hours later. Or it could be something really sweet and vulnerable, and I love that.
Yeah. I wish sometimes with improv stuff, like, I want to be even cheesier than I think most people are comfortable being.
Oh my God,
like,
I love that.
I would love to be, like, there's so many times I've had to hold back from being like, guys, why don't we just go around and, like, say what we like about each other? Because I read about people doing those exercises. I'm like, hell yeah. But then, like, I imagine, like, trying to actually, like, initiate that and people just looking at me like I'm an idiot. Like,
yeah.
No, we're not going to do that.
Oh, my God. I love when you start stretch and share and you, like, start on that note. It's so good. Because I feel like if you start and you're in that zone, people will kind of get behind you.
It's that infectious energy.
It really is. Yeah. It's the same way where you go around a table at Thanksgiving and you say what you're thankful for. If that first person is like, I'm thankful for my health, and then like goes on and like says really important things, you're like, all right, I won't be a dick this round. I'll say something cool. Like, I'll say something that means something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I had one other, I remember talking a couple weeks ago, you mentioned you had gone to a wedding. It was a Jewish wedding, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved Jewish.
And what I remember is your dad officiated it.
Totally.
He was like, is he a real?
No.
He's not a rabbi. Quote unquote. He's not a real rabbi.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He did the whole online deal.
Cool.
I mean, this day and age.
Yeah. So tell me about that.
About him.
Or just about like the wedding
in general.
That whole, like what happened.
Well, I haven't been to many weddings in my life. Friend weddings. I've been to like family weddings, but I think I'm of the age where it's starting to become more frequent. Yeah. So I've been to two, friend weddings in the past year. And one was in a church and the other one was a Jewish wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting kind of like, seeing both happen. And the Jewish wedding I thought was very inclusive of family members, like, up, you know, 'cause you have your bridesmaids, you have your groomsmen, and then we also had, the groom's parents and the bride's parents up there under the chuppah. Is what they call it.
Okay.
Which is so lovely. I think it's so... There's so much symbolism in Judaism that I really love that's very kind of togetherness is the main takeaway. And I really, really like that just because from my cheesy side, I just think that it's special. And so I don't know in, you know, Christian weddings if that's typical to have them sit on either side. And that's kind of like what it is, like the actual family, the parents.
Yeah, I think definitely the families do. And then like everybody else is kind of mixed.
Right.
Mixed around.
Okay, so you have the parents sitting on either side and like sitting down. Mm-hmm. And then you have up there with the... priest.
Right.
Oh my
Preacher,
God. I was
priest,
like, what
pastor.
The hell word
There's a million.
Well,
yeah.
The
yeah.
P word.
Reverend, whatever.
Are they all of the same religion?
Priest is usually like specifically for Catholicism. I believe Episcopalian, but I don't know. The Episcopalians, I feel like they have something else, like whether it's, I don't know. It might be something different. And then, like, some people go by reverend as, like, a more official title. Some people just call them preacher and pastor. Especially preacher, I would say, is the least formal of it. Because it's, I mean, if you think about it, it's like, oh, the guy that preaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Preacher.
Yeah.
That's yeah. what I imagine. Yeah.
Well, he was the preacher.
Yeah, that's the, yeah. So at this wedding, my dad is a... retired lawyer as of a few months, and he is such a good public speaker. I like legitimately might cry. I miss my dad so much. Not actually. Yeah, I'm like, fine, I'm fine, whatever.
By the way, I just want to tell everybody, I met Talia's dad, and it was amazing. Like, the guy locked in on a deep conversation with me, a complete stranger.
In minutes.
Faster than most people I've ever met.
Yeah.
But like, it's such a relief to find somebody who's willing to do that.
Oh my God.
I was just like step in step with him. It was great.
He is the best. He's so good at that. I he's so good at talking to people, and any ounce of that I have, I totally attest to him, because he could be best friends with Hitler, no questions. Like, no questions. Hitler would be like, man, this Ron Bernstein guy, he's kind of cool. And I love that about him. There's like this level of respect that he gives everybody that he encounters, and I really love that. But like, enough about him. Well, actually, the story's about him. So more about him. So he was a lawyer for a gazillion years, a really, really well-respected lawyer, but also not, when you hear that word, not the negative things about him, a very brilliant public speaker, just really smart, really thoughtful, one of the best public speakers I've ever seen. And so the fact that he was officiating this wedding was a no-brainer. This is my childhood best friend, been around my whole life. They didn't really want a super religious wedding, wanted some of the, like, Judaism's great. You pick and choose the good shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they were like, will you do this? And he was like, absolutely. So he got, I guess, ordained online. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That would be, yeah, that's the you word have you to. Would use. Yeah.
So he does this online, gets a certificate in the state of Georgia where they got it done. And he did a beautiful ceremony. And of the two significant that I noticed differences in Jewish weddings versus this Christian wedding that I went to, was A, the signing of the ketubah, which is a marriage certificate, but it's a really big, you have a witness, and that witness is usually someone who's very, very important to you. And it's like kind of, it's a marriage license, but the actual signing of it is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he had everybody say a word. So Shira, my friend who got married, had three people, maybe three witnesses, and the groom had three witnesses, and my dad had everybody yell out a word that we hoped would be present in their wedding in the future.
Oh, cool.
It was really cute. Yeah. It was very improv-y. We were like Ada seeing all day. And so, you know, people were like fun, laughter, love, happiness, the typical stuff. And then my dad said those were all great. And then he obviously like shut the house down with his great thing, which was be each other's biggest fans and always, which like, is,
damn it, Ron.
I was like, damn it, Ron. give me another chance. I can do this. Which to me and my parents are like, have such a beautiful marriage. It's so symbiotic that to hear him say that was like, to my best childhood friend and her husband, who I really love, was just so nice.
Yeah.
And so it was very family involved, very close, like knit family involved for that part. That's the ketubah signing, which I love, and I had never been a part of. And so to witness that and have my dad be kind of the first dude to like, was amazing. But I feel like I'm getting off topic, but the actual wedding, you have this huppah, which is like a, how do I describe it? Four posts. And you
like
usually,
a gazebo.
It's a gazebo. It's like a cool name for a gazebo. Yeah, exactly. So we're under the gazebo, and it's Shira, her husband, Shira's parents, and his parents, and then the bridesmaids and the groomsmen. And so that's who's up there. Mm-hmm. And there's something so nice. There's something so beautiful about the families being there. I had never seen a wedding where the parents were up there with the people about to get married. And I think there's something so nice about that.
Yeah.
And that was not in the Christian wedding I had gone to. The parents were sitting on their sides, which is fine, obviously. But it was, I think there's something so lovely about sharing that so closely with your family and just celebrating under this symbolic gazebo.
Right.
You know?
Our special gazebo.
The special gazebo. Yeah. I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah. There's something, it's like you say, like, you know, being in the cultural aspects of Judaism as much as anything, there is something so odd about symbols that there is a power to them, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And that's why maybe with some of us, there's like such a repulsion when you see it. Symbols being used, maybe, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like blasphemously, or just like, like you see like Christians who are preaching messages of hate use the cross in that way. You're like, no, come on, man.
I'm over here. I got my cross. I'm not about that.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going to relate it to that. It's unfortunate.
It's weird. So would you say, I guess moving to the, our choose your own religion segment, it sounds like you kind of, as you said, like that's the best part of Judaism is you do get to pick and choose your own.
It's the best part of my identity with, or my experience with Judaism is just kind of like, there are things that are so lovely about Judaism and like any religion. I took this class in college called Modern Christian Thought, and it like totally changed my life. I had not been exposed to Christianity beyond this class. I mean, of course, when you study Judaism,
or live in America
at all, you like get exposed to it, but actually reading stuff and like, and learning what it meant to be Christian to these groups of people was really crazy and awesome. I mean, it was, and what I loved about it is that people interpreted the Bible how they interpreted it and would live their life the most Christian way they could. And whatever that meant to them was how they did it. And I thought that was a really, really cool thing. It's like taking the good, positive parts of religion, the philanthropic parts, the kindness, the compassion, the like love thy neighbor kind of sentiments, and acting like that in the modern day. Being a good person is really what it's chalked up to. And if you attest that to religion, sure, great. I love that. Then do it. You know, if that's what it means to you to be religious, then I feel great about it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel that way with Judaism, is just like, there are some great stories. There's some great lessons that you learn from Judaism. And so the ones that besides like the cultural aspect of it, of just like, I don't even really know, but like just being, I don't really know. The cultural aspect of Judaism is a whole different thing. But I think in terms of like choose your own religion in my life, like what would be the thing that I care about the most? It's like being a good person and trying to exhibit that the best I can. I mean, I feel like that was the most convoluted thing I've ever said.
No.
And I apologize.
No, I would say that's a good, like, kind of overarching ethos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, as far as, like, in terms of nitty-gritty.
Yeah, right, give it to me.
Like, okay, so these are some of the things, like, I mean, in your, so let's say we have this modified, we have Talia's kind of modified Judaism.
By the way, should I start a religion?
I hope you do.
Where we just do Shabbat dinner. That's it. That's the
Shabbat,
only rule.
A nightly Shabbat dinner.
Shabbat dinner, yeah.
With people
every Friday. I can't commit to every night.
Right. Or, yeah, okay. Every night, every Friday night.
Yeah.
Shabbat dinner.
Yeah.
Perfect. Is it like hard, like, are we hard and fast on traditional Shabbat style? Like, are we keeping the same, like, text? Are we reading the same stuff?
No, the Shabbat dinner that I would have in my fake religion is you have to invite new people every week, ooh, which could get hard. And not necessarily, like, if you came to dinner number one, you could also come to dinner number two, but it would have to be like a majority of people are different, so that you are also meeting new people in addition to me. We're getting new dynamics going on.
Right.
And everybody brings their own dish, ooh, and a bottle of wine. This is also what I do for my birthday every year, by the way.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. That sounds great. And yeah, it's good not to, it's good to like circulate, like to meet new people.
Meet new peeps.
Let everybody grow their circle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have, so we have our group that meets every Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Do we have any kind of rules, like any kind of code, like specific like codes of conduct, any kind of behavior in general, like throughout the week or for that specific one, or like
Throughout the week, just like don't be an asshole. That would be the general rule.
Right.
And the rule for dinner is you couldn't ask, so what do you do? That's the rule.
That's a great rule.
So you can't talk about your work and what you do and like cozying up to someone.
So nobody knows what each other does.
Nobody knows. And we don't ever talk about it. And during the week, the rule is don't be a dick.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And
you can tell, if you have a moment where you're a little bit of a dick or you are not like feeling great about what you did, you can bring it up at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, not judge, but just be like, listen, I understand I did this, and I here's why I did it. And I either stand by it, or I'd like to apologize, or here's how I would do it differently next time.
Right, kind of like, you go into like Ron Bernstein lawyer mode and say, listen, I stand by this.
Right, I stand by it, they deserved it, sure. Okay, fine, cool. Tell me why.
Yeah. And so for our nightly, or our, I keep saying nightly. I want this to be every
you
night.
You want it so
I
badly.
I want it so bad to be every night.
You're like, maybe I just keep saying it, like it'll...
But
just...
then I would need a Shabbat from Shabbats themselves. Be like, right. Joe, take
you would need like a Joe Shabbat.
Right.
That, which could also
just,
be a thing.
Where I just work.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Just work one night a week. I know Jews in general, they're not necessarily trying to convert people because since it is a more, I guess, inherited or like cultural thing.
Yeah.
So for this Shabbat, is it supposed to be mostly Jewish? Is it like everybody? Is it like, are we recruiting people?
In my fake religion?
Yeah, in your fake one.
It's anybody. It's anybody who...
Who can cook.
Who can cook. Cooking is huge. If you're cooking, you're like... Yep. High up in that religion.
Yeah.
No, it's for anybody who enjoys the company of others. And maybe if they don't, they might start to. Mm. But someone who can, like, contribute is more than welcome.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if somebody was to show up and they didn't like hanging out with people, they would by the end of the night.
They totally would. And that's the point. It's like, this might not be your thing inherently, but by George... At the end of the night, his name's also George.
George, yeah.
I assume. George is going to love it.
Yeah. George will be halfway through sharing that moment
from his week. One tear deep, and he'll be like, you know what? I'm sorry I was a non-believer at the beginning.
George will have that moment where he's like, should I open up? Should I really say what happened to me this week? And a part of him will be like, no, you can't. This is a sad world.
Yeah.
They'll shun you for it. And George will say, no, tonight... On this night, I will open up.
Right.
And George will be the most religious person.
He will. He'll be the most Talia religion person ever.
Yeah. I feel like that would be like a story about, like, we would tell this dinner. Like,
yeah.
The parable of George.
It is. It would totally turn into a parable. Like, George didn't want to go to dinner. He didn't want to engage with other people.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the Jewish scholars for like years and centuries afterwards, like writing commentary on like what George did.
Yeah, totally. And then the story would change and like grow more and more hateful, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty good, well-rounded religion, like an idea. Do we have a name for it? This is always the hardest part. Like,
I would call it T Money and her ballers.
Love it.
Because I'm T Money, obvi. It's also the name of my rap group, T Money and her ballers. I do now.
You do now.
Yeah.
I was so, like, you saw that glimmer of hope in my eyes where I was like, you have a rap group.
I did. That was so nice. That was that glimmer of hope was good to see.
Well, I hope you put stuff out, you know, with T Money and your ballers.
T Money and my ballers. I don't really have a name. Because the thing is, like, if it's simply just, this religion is basically just a weekly dinner and not being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what?
Well, a weekly dinner where you maybe share your gratitude, what you're grateful for.
Share your gratitude. Yeah, it's kind of like a combination of like confession and Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So it's like it's not confession is crazy to me. That concept is absolutely insane. So it's not so much confession as it is just like a self-reflective. I had a moment this week where I'm not proud of it, and like, let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Because I got a little hot-headed in the checkout line at Walgreens. Okay?
Sure.
People were taking a little too long, and I threw my water bottle down, and I said, I don't need this anymore anyway, and stormed out.
And somebody had to clean that up.
Someone had to clean that up, and I feel really badly about it, and I just wanted to share that openly with you guys on my own.
Gotcha.
That's it.
So that's, we have some of that, and then the Thanksgiving
aspect
of it. And
then the, like, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this dinner.
Yeah.
That's really it.
And it's this wine.
I'm just excited for Thanksgiving, I think.
That's great. Maybe just call the weekly meal Thanksgiving.
That's the name of my religion, Thanksgiving.
Perfect. I feel great about this. Do you feel good?
Yeah, totally.
This is great. I feel like I'm going to talk to you about Judaism so much more after this.
Oh my God, I would love to. I know so little, and I've studied so much.
Whatever, okay, even if you think you know little, you just, like, expanded my knowledge by, like, 500%. Just, like, dropping terms left and right.
Oh my God, I'm great with terms. I got a good CH, I got a sound to me. Wait, that makes
what
me...
What was this gazebo name again?
A chuppah.
A chuppah.
Yeah. You said Haggadah very well, too.
Haggadah?
Yeah.
nail it.
Just throw that sound anywhere and you're good. You're super good.
Maybe I'll pick up a Jewish girlfriend that way.
Oh, I would love that.
I would.
Let me just say,
yeah.
In the Jewish world, if you're ever dating a Jewish girlfriend, that is the first thing I want to hear when you tell me about her. None of this, like, her being nice or this or that. If she's Jewish, like, that is for sure. That's a solid rule across the board.
Talia, you know, as soon as she, like, says yes to going out with me, I'm picking up the phone and calling you.
I'm not texting.
I'm calling you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. When Sam Greenberg says that yes to that date, I want that phone call.
Sweet Sammy Greenberg.
Mm.
Yeah.
She sounds cute.
Well, that's the show, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in. Hope you like it. Hope you check out Talia Bernstein on Facebook, Twitter, wherever she's at, Stitcher. I know I subscribe to her on Stitcher. It's wonderful. If you like this show, please follow me on Stitcher, iTunes, Facebook, Twitter. I would love a review also on Stitcher, iTunes, or whatever. I would love to know what you think. Even if it's like sarcastic, that would tickle me in a certain way. Thanks again. Love you guys. Ja Rule.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?